When you come to the monastery, you tend to bring a lot of other things trailing in your wake. You sit down and they gather around you. The issues from your family, the issues from work, the issues from home, issues from the media. If you want to create some space for the mind, you've got to cut these things away. This is why meditation starts by establishing a frame of reference. You start out with the body, in and of itself. In other words, you're not thinking of your body in the world. Whether it's a good-looking body, or a not good-looking body, or a strong one, or a weak one, agile or clumsy. All those issues that relate to the body and the world, because it's very easy to slip from there into other world issues. What other people are thinking, what other people are doing, what you think about their thinking, what you think about their doing. You want to be able to cut through these things. So keep reminding yourself, you're going to stay with a body in and of itself. You've got the breath right here. That's a body issue in and of itself. So learn how to relate to the breath in a friendly way. It makes it easier to stick with it. Learn how to be sensitive to how it feels when it's long, how it feels when it's short. And decide what kind of breathing feels best for you right now. You can choose, you know. The breath, after all, is a bodily fabrication. It has an element of intention in it. So take advantage of that. And as the breath gets more comfortable, you can start thinking about being aware of the whole body as you breathe in and as you breathe out. So you can move into the present moment with a sense of belonging here. You're not squeezed out of the present by being confined to just one little part of the body. You can inhabit the whole body. And just stay right there, allowing the breath to calm down. You don't force it to calm down. But as you're trying to be aware of the whole body, you're not thinking about other things. The more you can inhabit the present moment like this, the harder it is to switch off to the past or the future. It's almost as if you have your hands nailed down in your hands, your feet nailed down in your feet. So you can't go running off anywhere else. And that way the breath can calm down naturally, because you're using less oxygen, because you're thinking less. The thinking is focused right here, just being on the body in and of itself. And John Lee compares that to grabbing hold of a post and running around the post. As long as you hold on tight to the post, no matter how much you run around, you don't get dizzy. But if you let go of the post and try to spin around, you do get dizzy and fall down. So hold on to the post of the breath, and your thinking can circle around the breath. Just be careful that it doesn't lose its frame of reference and go running off into the world. That's called establishing mindfulness, or establishing a frame of reference. Then you develop that by holding on to that frame of reference as other things come up. You're aware of things arising, you're aware of things staying and passing away, but you don't lose touch with your body. If a thought comes up, see how it relates to the body. What feelings arise in the body together with a thought? What feelings pass away when the thought passes away? That's a useful insight. You see how your thinking, in order to stay, has to have its little niche there in the body, a spot where there's a little bit of tension that you associate with that thought as a reminder, and kind of a little marker that that's a thought you're going to stay with. When you see that happening, though, learn how just to breathe through that little niche of tension, and the thought will go away. then you can carry this skill out into other activities as well. As you're walking around the monastery, as you're doing chores, interacting with other people, try to stay with the body as your frame of reference, how it feels to be in the body when you're talking, when you're walking, when other people say things that you react to. Look for the reaction primarily on its physical side, how it influences the body, how it affects the body. Because that gives you a handle on how to deal with issues that come up in the mind. There's a passage in the canon where the Buddha is teaching Rahula how to meditate. And he starts out by saying, meditate with a mind like earth. When people spit on the earth doesn't get disgusted. When people put flowers on the earth doesn't get delighted or elated. It just stays right there. Or you can meditate with a mind like fire. Fire will burn up disgusting things, and it will burn up nice things, and not really feel one thing or the other, liking or disliking. Meditate with a mind like water. Water will wash away clean things. It'll wash away fragrant-smelling things. It'll also wash away foul-smelling things, and the water doesn't get affected. Or meditate with a mind like wind. The wind will blow nice things and bad things. It'll blow ash over here from the fires. It'll blow the smell of a flower, and it doesn't feel one thing or the other. Okay, where do you get in touch with earth, wind, fire, and water? It's right here in the body. The body's made out of these same sensations: solidity, liquidity, warmth, movement, energy. They're all right here in the body. So take your cue from the body. When there's some disturbance, realize it. Some disturbance in the body, change in your heart rate, change in your feeling of tension or tightness in different parts of the body. Remind yourself, that's part of the mind. The result of the mind's reactions that spread into the body. And then they take hold if we allow them to stay in the body. So this is one way of dealing with recurring thoughts. As soon as you sense the tension or the reaction, just undo it. Try to breathe in such a way and allow the blood to flow in such a way that you're not reacting to things outside at all. And in one sense, it helps you take possession of the present moment. And again, so you really feel like you belong here. You're not being pushed out by other people's actions. And at the same time, it gives you a stronger position from which to look at your reactions. When you react with disliking or liking or desire or fear, exactly what's going on? These things gain a lot of power because they have their physical component as well. But if you defuse the physical component, those thoughts are a lot easier to look at. They're a lot less overwhelming. And then you can start looking at the stories behind them. Say somebody gets you angry. What are the stories you tell yourself about that person, about how that person should be acting and why they're not acting the way you want them to? Learn to look at those stories with a skeptical eye. Sometimes you hear the idea that when you meditate, we're supposed to practice radical acceptance, as if that's what the path we're all about. Well, you accept what's actually going on, but you've got to do a lot more. You've got to learn how to be skeptical about what's going on as well. These stories that the mind tells itself, why believe them? What do you gain from believing them? Are they really true? How much do you know their truth? And even if they're true, are they really beneficial? You've got to have a certain skeptical eye, a skeptical ear. As you listen to these thoughts, as you observe what they're doing, it's only with this measure of skepticism that you can begin to recognize your defilements for what they are. And the sense of being at ease in the body helps keep that skepticism from becoming bitter. or cynical. It's simply learning to put a question mark next to things. Is that really true? Is it really beneficial? Is this really the right time to be thinking that thing? Why should I believe that story if it makes me suffer? And this way you learn how to free yourself from a lot of influences that otherwise would take over your mind and then just stay there for days on end. It's this ability to be a little bit skeptical that can keep you sane in the midst of all the insanity going on around us. I was talking with someone today saying, she's a yoga teacher, saying that her clients were all saying that they wish it were January 1st, that they were done with the holidays. That all the Christmas stuff is very stressful for a lot of people. It's supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be joyful, but it's just a lot of stress and a lot of hassle. And she wanted to know what to tell her students. I said, well, tell them to approach the whole thing like an anthropologist. These quaint customs of the natives. And allow yourself to stand apart from them a little bit. This is what being with the body, trying to get in touch with just the physicality of the body, and trying to maintain that mind state that's like earth, water, wind, fire, can do for you. Gives you a good solid place to stand, a good separate place to stand, where you've got your internal sense of well-being. You're not hungering after the things of the world. And so you don't have to gobble them down. You can question them. This way you establish a sense of seclusion. When they talk about jhana being based on seclusion, or the first jhana, having a sense of pleasure and rapture based on seclusion, this is the kind of seclusion they're talking about, not just the fact that you're sitting here separated from society at large, but you're also standing apart a bit from your thoughts. You've got a different frame of reference that allows you to question the stories and not identify with them so much. So develop a mind like fire, wind, earth, water. A mind that's in tune with the body as you're experiencing it right here, right now, particularly with the breath, which is part of the wind element. Any aberrations that you feel in the breath, put a little question mark next to them. Does this have anything to do with a mental event that just happened? Is there any feeling, any reaction, any anger, any lust, any fear? And then breathe through the aberration. And if it's necessary to deal with the thought, okay, you're dealing it with from a much better perspective. You've got a different frame of reference from which to look at the thought. Or if you don't have to deal with it, it's fine. Just breathe through it and let it go. If you find that you have trouble analyzing the thought, maybe your concentration isn't strong enough for it yet, so learn how to put it aside. But the important thing is that your frame of reference be strong, solid, imperturbable. That's why mindfulness practice shades ultimately into concentration practice, because you're sticking with one thing as your frame of reference, and it becomes continual. The Buddha himself never drew a sharp line between mindfulness and concentration. Mindfulness, as it grows stronger, becomes concentration, becomes purified in concentration, steadied so that your discernment can start doing its work. Figuring out where there are still Velcro hooks on your mind and how you can shave them off. Not get sucked into the storylines that make you suffer. So learn to see the body, your experience of the body, are largely as breath. And then make your mind like breath. When they come together in this way, then you've got a really solid place to stand.